I have a thought that I want to share with you from the Torah portion. Let me start by asking you, what is some of the longest shifts that you have ever worked? We have a medical doctor, two nurses in the room, some social workers. Those always get long hours. Dana was an over-the-road driver. I know that brings long hours. A couple of you own real estate, like investment property with tenants. That's like an ongoing job. Because something, you got to jump the moment something happens on that. Anybody else? Long shifts. Anybody worked on a fishing boat?
Not a fishing boat, but I was a teacher.
Yes?
You don't realize that teachers put 16-hour days in.
It's incredible.
They do. They have to. If they're going to teach correctly.
So basically, you just taught and didn't sleep.
Well, you taught and planned.
Right, I know. Between all that, there's no time left. Any other ideas, responses? Oh my, third shift. That's exhausting. Whatever the length of the shift is, it's exhausting at that point. College student, that's like an ongoing, for 4 years. That's a 4-year journey. This week's Torah portion talks about job assignments. Talks about job schedules and shift schedules. There is a passage in the Torah portion. It is in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 12. And this is about the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest, the leader of the tribe of Levi, and he's also the leader of a particular family within the tribe of Levi called the Kohanim, the priests. He is the head priest, the head Levite, from the tribe of Levi, that is. And in this week's Torah portion, it outlines some of his responsibilities and duties. We're right in a section in Leviticus that's dealing with holiness. And one of the things that Leviticus talks about is the leaders of Israel. It talks about the regular priests. It talks about the high priest. It talks about those that have duties on lighting the menorah, baking the bread that's put out on a weekly basis. Lots of job responsibilities and lots of job shifts. And in this verse in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 21, it tells us how long the high priest's job shift lasts. But it's not like any job shift that you have had or I have had, even as a nurse or a teacher or a university student. It says that the high priest is not to leave the sanctuary. The high priest is not to leave the mikdash in Hebrew, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, later the temple. That is an ongoing job shift. When it is their turn to be on duty, they're on regularly, full time, perpetually. And actually, we see this in other places in Scripture. If you read carefully in 1 Samuel, you'll see that the high priest, that the little boy Samuel goes to live with, the high priest's name was Eli. You'll note that actually Eli lives somehow in the precincts of the sanctuary. And because there's a story that happens at nighttime, and there Samuel's hearing the voice of God, and as God calls this young Levite boy named Samuel to become his servant, to ultimately become not only a Levite, but a prophet and a judge over Israel. Eli, it seems, lives right there in the area of the tabernacle. There's another idea that expresses this. Do you remember in one of the Psalms by David, he says, "I long to dwell forever in your courts, O Lord. I long to live, to take up residence in your courts." He's reflecting on the life of the priest, particularly the high priest, who lived, resided there in God's presence continually. David wanted that same experience. He wanted that same sort of intimacy and closeness and connection to the Most High. Yet another example. Do you remember as B'nai Yisrael journeyed through the wilderness, Moses' young attendant named Joshua, we're told, never left the tent. Joshua actually wasn't a Levite, but there's another example of someone serving perpetually, it seems. If he never left the tent of meeting or that those precincts, he's dwelling, he's residing, he's serving there continuously. My point is especially in this week's Torah portion, is about the high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, who we're told did not leave while he was on duty the sanctuary. And it actually outlines some pretty traumatic things that he would otherwise miss. It says in the text, in that same paragraph, that if there's a death in his family, he is not permitted to leave and attend the funeral. He has important duties as high priest. The high priest cannot be defiled, cannot be made unclean, first of all, by coming into contact with a corpse. The priests in general, not the high priest, his associates, can do so for a very close family member, as David read in his Torah reading, for a mother, a father, a brother, sister, son, or daughter, or according to Jewish tradition, his wife. But the high priest is not even given that latitude. He is not to become defiled. He's not to leave the sacred precincts of the Lord. You see, there were levels of holiness within the community of Israel. Moving from outside the camp, that was the least amount of, if you want to say, the least holy place where Israel journeyed through the wilderness, was outside the camp. Then inside the camp, there was a greater level of holiness, or what we might call sanctity, as Laura pointed out last week, something that's set apart for service to the Most High. I remember Aaron and Shimon getting a kick out of the fact that there's God makes that comment about be careful about not making a mess, you know, set up a latrine for yourself in the camp. God says, I walk about your camp. I am with you in your camp. And so therefore, make a latrine. Aaron, I remember, always loved the implicit humor in that statement. The camp is holy. Then you're moving more into the center. You have within the camp of Israel, there's a ring of tents around the tabernacle where the Levites lived. The Levites and the priests lived in the middle of the camp of Israel. And then within the middle of the Levite tents was another tent, the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, the appointment place, where God would communicate and interact with his people. Ultimately, even within the Mishkan, or the tabernacle, there was even levels of holiness. You had the holy place, and then you had the Kedosh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies, which actually only one person and only once a year ever entered, and under very special circumstances that anyone would ever enter that most holy place. The high priest was, we're told in this Torah portion, to guard that holiness. His actions could either diminish the holiness to the sanctuary, and his action could also diminish the holiness of the community of Israel. He was in charge of the holiness going on within the Israelite community. And so he was always on duty, perpetually. I think to some extent this answers a couple questions that come up when you study Scripture. For instance, earlier in the book of Leviticus, when two of Aaron's sons die, Moses tells Aaron, you're not to mourn for them. Why is he not to mourn for and attend their funeral? This begins to explain why, in that particular case, it's, of course, Jewish tradition holds the association of funerals and those mourning practices in very high regard. But for the high priest, Moses told his brother Aaron, you are not to attend the funeral of your two sons. Later in the book of Numbers, There's an instance when Aaron and Miriam, his sister, speak against Moses. Lashon Hara, it's been mentioned this morning, the evil tongue, gossip, slander. And what is the result when Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses? What happens to them?
They get
Sara'at. They get leprosy. One, both of them? Miriam does. You ever wondered why Aaron didn't? Aaron is the high priest. He can't leave the Mikdash. He cannot defile the sanctuary. Therefore, in this particular case, Aaron is not punished or disciplined, I'd rather say, in the same way that Miriam is. Though they are cohorts in speaking ill of Moses. The high priest is always on the job. Okay? Now let me take that idea and send it forward and apply it to Yeshua. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews describes Messiah Yeshua as a high priest. In fact, it's the clearest statement within the scriptures of the New Covenant where Yeshua's priestly role is addressed and investigated and expanded and presented. He is a Kohen Gadol. He is our high priest. And I'm going to skip the, for our purposes now, I'm going to skip how the writer of Hebrews sets up and argues that Yeshua is the high priest. We've done that in other circumstances and settings. Let me jump to verse 24. Or start in verse 23. This is Hebrews 7. Now, on the one hand, many have become priests who through death are prevented from continuing in office. Here speaking actually of their own death. Many are priests who are prevented from continuing as priests because of death. But on the other hand, the one who does remain forever has a permanent priesthood. The one who lives, who remains, who endures forever has a permanent priesthood. What? He's always on the job. He's always on task. The one who lives forever is a permanent priest. Verse 25, therefore, he is also able to save completely, refuah shlema, a complete healing, for those who draw near to God through him, always living to make intercession for them. He is able to heal completely those who draw near. That's Levite language. That's sacrifice language. To draw near to God. He is always there to intervene for those who draw near to God through him. always to make intercession. If Yeshua is a high priest, then he must always be on the job. Yeshua always being the one who is there to serve, to make intercession, to heal and to restore, to receive our sacrifices that are brought as we draw near to God through him. Yeshua, the high priest, is on the job. Yeshua is the high priest that has served the longest in all of Israel's structure of observance and worship throughout the centuries and for millennia. Aaron couldn't be punished and disciplined by God in Numbers chapter 12 when Miriam was struck with Sara'at. Aaron wasn't. He was the high priest. He couldn't bring defilement to the sanctuary. He had to be available as high priest to serve the people, to make intercession, to serve as a priest for the people and before the Lord. Yeshua, in the same way, serves perpetually as the priest for us. Look, continue in Hebrews 7, verse 26. It describes more about who this Kohen Gadol, this high priest, is for us. It says, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, holy, guiltless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." Some wonderful examples of who Yeshua is. Did you catch those? Holy, guiltless, undefiled. That means he's pure. He's without the unclean contamination from being outside the sanctuary. He is, fourthly, separate from sinners, and five, exalted above the heavens. We have an amazing high priest that, just like the high priests in this week's Torah portion, cannot leave the sanctuary. We have a high priest who, therefore, doesn't leave the sanctuary. That's why it says he is always there before God, making intercession, pleading, praying for us. Yeshua is always on the job. Yeshua is always there to hear our cry, to receive our sacrifice, and to take us before the Father. Judaism will say that there's no need in Jewish tradition for a mediator, that people go directly to God. Of course, these individuals don't know the scriptures. There was always a high priest that was necessary in order to represent our people to the Most High. The same is still true today. How do we know that Yeshua will serve us? How do we know that Yeshua can care for us? It's because we have the example of the high priest in the Torah. In the same way, Yeshua is remains undefiled because he never leaves the sanctuary. He never leaves. He's there in God's presence, at his right hand, in the heavenly sanctuary, where those angels that we read about in our liturgy, they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Yeshua is there in that sanctuary of honor and worship to God. He is there. He never leaves. He remains pure. He remains undefiled. He is always there also to meet us, to carry us, and to provide for us, to hear our needs, to receive our sacrifices, to know our prayer. We have a high priest who's had the longest job shift ever known, perpetually for us. And there are a lot of needs in our congregation. Janine, Sandy, Caitlin, Leah's granddaughter, who we've been praying so intensely for, who had run away again, was just found. And this young 16, almost 16-year-old, needs some priestly intercession. And of course, as Janine in her body, and for Sandy, we are in serious need of priestly intercession. As our country faces moral quagmires, the situation going on about gender confusion and bathroom situations, and a presidential election, the nation of Israel that needs a priest to guard them, to stand around them as the mountains are around Jerusalem. The world needs a high priest who's on task. Our congregation, our families, individually, you and I need a priest that is there. Yeshua, like Aaron, doesn't leave. Doesn't take breaks. He's always there for us. May we cry out to Yeshua and recognize that we have such a high priest who, according to Hebrews 7, is always on the job, because that's what high priests do for us and for all Israel.